This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. The W.C. Beckjord Power Plant sits along the Ohio River in New Richmond. Duke Energy closed the plant 2 years ago, but there are still large coal ash ponds on the site that contain arsenic, lead, and other toxins that pose a potential danger to the environment and drinking water. Local government leaders, the Environmental Protection Agency, and Duke Energy are now trying to determine the most effective, safe method to clean up the site. And joining us to provide some history and an overview of the Beckjord plant, the current concerns over the danger it poses to the environment, and possible steps to make the site safe are Duke Energy Ohio and Kentucky spokeswoman Sally Thielen, and Nine on Your Side, WCPO.com issues reporter Lisa Bernard-Kuhn, who recently reported on the concerns over the Beckjord coal ash ponds. You can be part of the discussion at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sally and Lisa, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Sally, tell us some of the history about the Beckjord plant. When was it built, and what's the status of the site right now?
Sure. It's a 978-acre parcel of land located about 22 miles east of Cincinnati that went into service for Duke Energy's predecessor companies back in 1952. So it's definitely been a fabric of the community out there in Claremont County for decades, and we've had a lot of employees that live and work out there, and it's definitely been a place for us of great memories and certainly great traditions for our employees out there, as well as for the community and all that we've given back in that region with a lot of volunteer work and certainly being committed to that area as a whole and making sure that our employees were volunteering and you know, again, being part of the fabric of the community out there. We did retire the plant in 2014 in August after announcing in 2011 that we would be retiring it due to it reaching the end of its useful life for us as a coal plant.
Now, Sally, what exactly is a coal ash pond? How commonly are these used?
Well, it's certainly, for us, it's a method for us to dispose of ash that is part of the process of creating energy out at a coal-fired plant, as you would understand. It's an industry standard in terms of how we dispose of the ash. And out at the Beckjord site, we have four ash ponds, all of which are inactive now, and water levels are much lower than when the plant was in operations. So, at this stage for us, after the ultimate closure of the facility, we've been working on engineering studies and determining what we believe the best course of action will be ultimately to close those ponds.
So, four ash ponds, Sally, how large are these? What size are these?
They vary in size. I can tell you that the first pond that we built went into service in 52, and the last pond went into service, give or take, in 85. I think the rough size of them would probably be about 25 to 40 acres.
Lisa, drew you to look into these and WCPO.com to look into these coal ash ponds? How did that whole thing get started?
Yeah, so, you know, as Sally mentioned, for decades, this Duke Energy power plant was a real economic anchor out there in the Pierce Township, New Richmond, Ohio area. And the big question for community leaders and members there is, now that the site's closed, what's going to happen? Just from an economic development standpoint, there are folks who dream of that site being, you know, totally remediated and some form of industry or some form of job-creating company back there on the site. And so when we began to start asking questions about how far away might we be, you know, from that reality, it became immediately evident that there is a big remediation question here with these coal ash ponds. And it's one that not only Duke Energy faces here in Ohio and in Pierce Township, it's one that electric utilities that have burned coal to create energy face across the country. In the case of Duke Energy's, the W.C. Beckjord power plant, these are four unlined ash pits. And so there's some question about what would happen with that over time, you know, as long as that the coal ash remains in those ponds right there on the Ohio River, right next to Claremont County's public drinking water wells? Are there going to be safeguards in place down the road to make sure that our drinking water is kept safe? And so those were the lines of questioning that sort of drew us in. Of course, drinking water being and the safety of our drinking water being the top critical question there. Are there safeguards that are going to be in place as Duke Energy makes this big decision about what to do with these coal ash ponds?
And you said these are unlined ponds?
As we understand it, these are unlined ponds, and that was not an uncommon practice for the industry for many decades. There just weren't requirements in place that these ponds were lined in 2015. There were some new federal standards that were put into place that will require coal-fired power plants to do things differently. But at the time, as Sally just pointed out, this is a very, very old site. When these were created, that wasn't the industry standard at the time.
Mm-hmm. So have there ever been any cases of any contaminants leaking from these coal ash ponds into local water sources?
Yeah, so there has, and this is detailed in our story, and it's all public record out there. And it was something that was reported from the site. So in the late 80s, it was discovered that there were sulfites, increased amount of sulfates, rather, coming off of the site and had entered the groundwater and then was being pooled into a Claremont County public water well. Ultimately, the decision was made to close that public water well. An interceptor well was created to capture those sulfates. And since then, there have been quarterly water tests, water quality tests that have been conducted, and those results are sent over to Claremont County just to make sure that the sulfate plume isn't expanding to the other public or elsewhere in the groundwater that would then be taken up by the other public water wells there.
Now, as sulfates, though, are there, as I understand, and Sally, if you want to weigh in at any point, please do. They're non-carcinogenic. They're not cancer-causing substances.
That's right. But you know, in high amounts, they can cause a discolorization of the water. They can have,
and they certainly do cause some health issues too.
And they do, and they have a sort of a diuretic effect. And as the way that an environmental expert in Claremont County put it to us, these are things that naturally wouldn't be in the water. And if enough of them were to get into our water system again, the county or an entity would have to pay to remove them. It's stuff you just don't want in your water, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Sally?
You know, certainly Lisa mentioned that Duke Energy installed an interceptor well that went into service back in 1994. That was something that we, you know, conducted four phases of investigation on our own in conjunction with the Ohio EPA to determine what we could do out there to make sure that the groundwater was safe. And again, since 1994, installing that interceptor well to us has absolutely been a protectant of the drinking water in the area. And Lisa mentioned that we do submit monitoring reports to the Ohio EPA as well as to the county, the health department, the commissioner's office, the water resource division out there, and we routinely provide groundwater presentations to the county over the years. We've held neighborhood meetings for years to let them know kind of what our plans are out there on the site while it was in operation, and we've still conducted those after this plant has closed. So what I can tell you is we will absolutely be committed to continuing any groundwater programs out there and making sure that we're maintaining an extra layer of vigilance even with the plant not in operation now.
And how extensive is it, Sally, to decommission a plant like Beck Jord?
It's significant. As you would imagine, it's been in operation, as we said, for decades, and it's a process that takes multiple years. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And certainly, we're in the very early stages for us of dismantling, you know, the things that probably the average public citizen might not see by removing fuel oil, any residual coal from our bunkers out there, any equipment that's not needed, you know, getting all of our buildings that are out there, you know, ready for ultimate demolition. But again, this has been a multi-year process that we're early on, and that's just really for the actual infrastructure out there, not inclusive of what we determine will be the best course of action to do with the ash ponds.
Any idea, Sally? I mean, is there any kind of a time frame that's typical for cleaning up a site like this or for taking it out of commission?
I think multiple years. I would say, 5 to 10 years would be an average out there. We've got a lot of ash ponds and plants that we have been retiring in Duke Energy in multiple states. So I think depending on how big the actual structure and station is, determines a little bit more of how long of a process it might be to happen. Since we've closed this plant, have been in regular contact with neighbors. We send updates about every 6 months to local community leaders as well as to the neighbors to let them know what the latest status is, give them an update on our timeline out there for ultimate demolition and decommissioning out there. So we're certainly trying to make sure that we're keeping the neighbors informed as well as local officials of what ultimately will be our closure process.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk with Bob in Alexandria, Kentucky. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks. Good, thanks.
So my question is for Sally, and it's really sort of a two-part question. One, now that the plant is sort of in a remediation environment or a closed environment, what sort of standards does the EPA place on those coal-burning facilities years after its closure? And then two, you mentioned there was a pond, retainage pond, with the lower levels of water. What steps does Duke Energy take to ensure that that pond has structural integrity and it's not a concern to break and find itself into the soil in the surrounding community?
Sure. I can tell you that in terms of the actual structural safety of the dams, we're inspecting the ash ponds for stability. Minimum every 5 years, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources comes in. We're also doing our own daily inspections with a little bit more involved, inspections of those ponds weekly and monthly with detail. We also have a third-party engineering firm that comes in to inspect as well to get an independent report of what they believe the status of those ponds are. So in terms of that, that's how we're maintaining a level of daily inspections of them to make sure that there's not any change in conditions. As I mentioned, we have lowered levels in all of the ash ponds now that they're not in operation. So to us, that makes them structurally, with having less water in the ponds, more stable naturally in the condition that they're in now. In terms of your second question, what I can tell you is by closing our site when we closed it in 14, that was ultimately before some of the federal coal combustion residual rules had not come into effect at that point. But in terms of how we're ultimately closing the plant and the facilities and whatnot, I can tell you that Duke Energy Ohio will definitely be following all applicable state and federal regulations during that decommissioning process. So we're certainly committed to making sure that we're closing it in a responsible way and being a responsible corporate citizen out there for the community that's been very near and dear to us as a company for decades.
Backyard is right on the Ohio River, so I guess the question I have is how much of a risk is this to the Ohio River? I mean, what's the worst case scenario here?
Well, the worst case scenario, as it was put to us from, again, a Claremont County environmental expert who's keeping a close eye on this, is that one of these ash ponds, because of some structural deficiency or some catastrophic weather event, would break open, and that this ash would then flow into the Ohio River, and you'd have a plume of ash, making its way down the Ohio River. The Ohio River is a source of drinking water for about 5 million people across our region. And so, again, that's worst case scenario. And we've seen these dams, these ponds break open elsewhere.
Elsewhere
in North Carolina in 2014, there was a breach, if you will, of one of these dams at another Duke Energy site. And as I understand, about 39,000 tons of coal ash went into the Dan River. And that, as a result of that plume of ash moving down the Dan River, communities, you know, water wells were impacted. The cleanup was, you know, immediately underway. There is still some, I guess, lingering effect as a result of that across North Carolina. Duke is faced with the question, Duke Energy is faced with the question of what to do with the rest of their coal ash sites there, and cleanup of about 14 coal ash sites. Sally could probably speak more to that than I could, but and we've seen other breaches of these dams. I think it was 2008-ish. In Tennessee, there was a big spill in the Kingston area. So folks who are looking at the Beck George site and asking what will happen next have these memories in their mind about, you know, those worst-case scenarios, and that's why they're asking the questions they are.
Sally, your response?
If I could just respond to that, I think that's not entirely a fair assessment of the Dan River situation. We, as a company, it was an unfortunate accident. We took responsibility right away. We've learned a lot of good lessons that we've incorporated into our operations here in Ohio and across the six states that we operate plants. We've had multiple federal and state agencies have studied the Dan River since that accident, and no physical impacts to fish or aquatic life have been observed. So today, the Dan River is reportedly thriving, and I think that when you look at how dams, you know, certainly the conditions that existed at Dan River do not exist at Beck George today, so I think it's definitely not an apples-to-apples comparison, but I think that some of the stuff that Lisa mentioned, it's not relevant with our situation out there. You have to look at from an operating historic safety. You know, we designed these types of ponds and facilities to withstand 100-year flood, record flooding. We had record flooding, as you recall, back in 1997, and we did not have issues with those ponds or any sort of close breach of anything making contact into the Ohio River. And I think that certainly acknowledging that we have been a responsible corporate citizen out there and operating and maintaining that plant safely is critical to keep in mind.
So you're saying that it's not as big a threat to the Ohio River then as people might think?
I think that it's absolutely, when you look at our multiple layers of monitoring, not only the groundwater, but you're looking at our dam safety and our inspection process, that we're out there daily looking at these facilities to make sure there's no changes. I think that it would be misleading to imply that there's some pending threat there. What I can tell you is we, as a company, are working with the OEPA on determining what we believe will be the best course of action through our investigations and our engineering studies to get those ponds closed, and certainly, you know, as part of the entire decommissioning and retirement process out there. But aside from, you know, using engineering experts and folks that are experts in the field, I think that it's irresponsible to think that some local officials may believe that we are posing an issue out there when, in fact, we're completely working in conjunction with our experts as well as the Ohio EPA to ensure that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate Sally's comments, and I think that, again, when you look at the fact that Duke Energy is making a decision about these ash ponds right now, the more that they can share about that process and the more transparent that is, perhaps the more they'll be able to address the concerns of, you know, community leaders in Claremont County and elsewhere about what the future might hold for this site. And, you know, in our series, we detail the track record of the Beckjord property and the pollution that has come off of this site and incidents that they have run into, you know, previously at the site. Certainly, you know, Duke's track record is out there. Anyone, and you know, can research that and find that as it relates to what's happening in North Carolina right now. And I think that the intent of our story was really to bring light, more light, to the fact that this is a decision that's happening now. And, you know, as folks speak out about their concerns, Duke Energy will have a chance to address them.
Well, Sally and Lisa, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
President and, Duke Energy Ohio and Kentucky spokeswoman Sally Thielen, and Nine on Your Side, WCPO.com issues reporter Lisa Bernard-Kuhn.